Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We're glad to have you all. Let us take a moment and quiet our hearts for worship. Wait upon the Lord. Let us hear this morning's call to worship taken from the last part of Ephesians chapter 1. God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Praise God. Let us pray. O Lord, we have already approached you with our hymn of praise, but we are delighted to speak with you as well. Lord Jesus, we are glad that all the fullness of God dwells in you bodily. All the promises of God are yes in you. You are the one who has brought us into this place. You are the one who has brought us before your Father. You are the one who has fit us to be praising him. We give you thanks for bringing us into the very Holy of Holies itself, that we might worship and pray, that we might be blessed, that we might delight in the Lord. It is good to be here. We do ask that you would receive our praise with pleasure. We ask that you would be present in the heart of every person here. We ask that whatever cares, sorrows, conflicts might be, that those would all be thrown upon you, and every person would be comforted in your presence. We do bring our prayers to you using the words that we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us confess our faith together using the Apostles' Creed, found on page 844 at the back of your hymnal. Slightly modernized words from the ones that have long time been used. So if you turn to page 845, then we will keep together with the same words, speaking to the same God regardless of the generation or the place. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning's scripture passage is Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And thus far the reading of God's word. Let us unite our hearts, praying for one another in our prayer of intercession. Oh God, we have spoken with you already. We have listened to your voice and we have spoken with you. We have brought you praises. We have brought you thanksgiving. We have spoken of your great and wondrous ways. But there's other sides of prayer that we want to participate in, oh God. We want to speak with you for each other. It is good to be in fellowship, O God. It is good to be a family joined and knit together. It is good to love one another, share that communion of the saints. It is good to speak with you for one another. We do pray. We bring before you the needs of this church. You have provided many things, but, oh God, there could be many things that we ought to ask for. Father, we would ask that you would preserve this congregation from the trials that our brothers and sisters are going through in Overland Park. We do give you thanks, Father, for unity here, and we ask, Father, that that would continue. We ask that the love of the brothers and the sisters would be the highest thing in the mind of every one of us. And we ask that we would be the servants of each other. That we would not want to lord it over each other, but that we would be the servants. That we would listen to one another. That we would consider others better than ourselves. We ask that we would not give our minds totally to the things that occupy us as individuals, but we would ask that we would bear in mind the things that are of concern and importance to others. God, we ask that you would provide that here in this congregation. Father, we pray too for the ministry of this church. We ask that the preaching of the word here, whether today or another day, any day, would go forth in power, would convince and exhort and rebuke the people in the pews after it has convinced and rebuked and exhorted the man preaching. We pray too that you would sustain the educational work of the church, Sunday school, those kinds of things. Let this church be a place that is known, where the word of God is understood and taught, loved, and lived. Let that be the reputation of this church, regardless of whether the outside world respects that kind of reputation or not. Father, we could go on and on praying for one another. I would hope that these words at this moment will simply be a sample of the prayers for one another that would be a part of this church. Keep us praying for one another throughout the week. keep us praying continually without ceasing. Our God, we bring you our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I turn to Acts 6 for a lesson passage this morning. Not because Roy is working his way through Acts. I turn to Acts chapter 6 primarily because of one word in that passage. The word is prayer. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's what the apostles said when the people brought their complaint to them. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, you and I should be aware that this is not the first reference to prayer in Acts. You go back to chapter 1, verse 14, these same disciples all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. It might be fair to say that the New Testament church began with a prayer meeting. You and I know that's not really true. It began in the mind of God. But in terms of the first concrete activity of the apostles that you have there in Acts chapter 1, their first activity was to devote themselves to prayer. Prayer was vital to the life of the church in those early days. And in Acts chapter 6, you have the leaders of the church saying, we will devote ourselves continually to prayer. And I read those words, and I am reminded of the fact that the Wednesday night prayer meeting in this church is primarily made up of officers. Okay? We're always glad when somebody else is there as well, but the guys who are almost always there are leaders. Officers, you know, everything from ministers to session members to deacons. The Wednesday night prayer meeting at this church is primarily made up of officers. And on Wednesday night, your officers meet and they pray for you. It is a crucial part of their ministry. And I'm going to tell you how your officers pray for you when they are together. I'm going to tell you in biblical terms what it's like when they pray. Prayer by church leaders is mentioned again and again in the New Testament. And I hope that when your leader's prayer is at its best, I hope it's a lot like the prayers of Paul, John and Peter and others, maybe even a lot like the prayer of Jesus. So, what is the prayer of your leaders like? First of all, I want you to know that it is exceedingly humble prayer, but it has the greatest participants you can ask for. Read Romans 8:26 with me if you want. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. If there was ever a verse that described our prayer meetings, it's this one. Your leaders don't know everything to pray about, but they still labor in prayer. And if the Apostle Paul says he doesn't always know what to pray about, I don't mind confessing the same shortcoming and the same ignorance. Paul doesn't know how to pray. Sometimes he says he still labors in prayer. Your leaders don't always know what to pray about, but they still labor in prayer. And we labor in prayer knowing that we have the greatest of prayer warriors with us, the Holy Spirit Himself. With the Holy Spirit meeting with you, you don't have to be afraid of knowing too little in your prayer life. You've got all the encouragement in the world that you need in order to pray and go on in that ministry. And if you keep reading in Romans 8:34, you get these words, Christ also makes intercession for us. Prayer meeting with both the Holy Spirit and Christ there, I like it. It may be humble, but the best participants that you could ask for are right there with us. The finest prayers are present there with us. And you should thank God that that kind of prayer is going on. I sure do. So, first thing I want you to know about your leader's prayer for you, it is humble. It is humble, it is meager, it is sometimes ill-informed, but the best of prayer warriors are there with them. It's humble. Now, secondly, prayer on Wednesday nights, it is full of thanksgiving. Your leader's prayer for you is filled with thanksgiving. At least it is when we pray by following the apostles' example. I put together a file of all the prayers that I could think of in the New Testament, all the prayers where leaders talk about praying for the people in the churches. It's 8 pages long, and I didn't even include John chapter 17 when Jesus prays for it. If anybody would like to see it, I can email it to you. I'm not going to refer to every last thing I have in the file. I had to be very, very selective in order not to go on all afternoon. But I said I put that file together, 8 pages or so. 1/3 of it are prayers of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving fills the prayers in the New Testament, especially the prayers of leaders for the people. Sometimes the thanksgiving is kind of general. Try this verse, 1 Thessalonians 3:9. For what thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? Sometimes we just thank God for you, period. Because of the joy that it is knowing you, serving amongst you, being your officers, we thank God for you. There are those times we don't know too much, but we do know joy and we know thanksgiving, and that is good. Sometimes the thanksgiving is pretty specific, and I can give you some examples. I'm going to use Colossians 1:3 here to help me out. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. You would not have that faith if God did not give it to you. You would not be confessing the Lord Jesus. You would not be relying on Him for salvation unless God had brought you into that. We would not even know about your mental, social, other condition, or whatever, unless God brought you into that. Your faith is something we give God thanks for. Secondly, he says, and your love for all the saints. It's not easy being here, right? It's not easy being the servant of the people that you're sitting next to, or behind, or in front of. It's not easy mingling with these other people who confess the Lord Jesus Christ, but you do it. You do it because God has given you that love for all the saints. We thank God because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. God has shared that with you. God has sent His only Son. God has said, this son of mine is going to bring a great company, a number that nobody can number, bring them into heaven, joyfully sharing things with me and him throughout all of eternity. That is given by God. Every one of you that has that hope, that is something to thank God for. That is something that fills the prayers of your leaders when they meet together and pray for you. Faith, love, and hope. Does that sound like a trio you're familiar with? Shows up a lot. There's one famous place where it says, these three abide, faith, hope, and love. All of those things in you are worth thanking God for, and your leaders give thanks. He also says, the word has come to you, the gospel has come to you, bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, as well as every place else in the world. The fruit of the Spirit can only come from the Spirit, right? People thank God for the fruit that they know in you. I don't know how much you think there is. I don't know how glad you are for the fruit that is in your life or your friends' lives. But it really is something for your leaders to thank God for. Romans 6:17. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. God be thanked for that. I don't know how deeply involved any of you were in sin before you became a Christian. Some of you, you know, praise God, have been raised by faithful Christian parents all your lives. Some of my kids just say they never knew a time when they didn't know Christ, but there are some amongst you who may have come into Christ after a life of rebellion and wandering, and hatred of the things of God. And Paul says, thanks be to God, you were slaves in sin, but you obeyed now from the heart. You have been set free from sin. You have become slaves of righteousness. Your leaders thank God for every bit of that that there is in you. Philippians 1:3 says, I thank my God on every remembrance of you for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. A little bit ago, we talked about Vanessa becoming a full-time, long-term missionary in Russia. That delights the heart of anybody who has ever been a preacher. It delighted apostles back in the good old days. People taking that fellowship of the gospel, but it goes beyond the people who would assume a role like Vanessa is. Your pastor is thrilled that you share in the gospel with him. You participate in the preaching of the gospel, not just by sitting there and hearing, but by everything you say beyond these four walls. You name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You speak of his greatness and salvation while you are out there. And your leaders thank God for your fellowship and your partnership in the gospel. Both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Another item, 2 Corinthians 9:11. He says, you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. You as a congregation really do delight in giving. It's probably been a long time since you've written a check for $1 million, but that's not what I'm talking about. You really do respond when there are needs. Just this morning, after Sunday school, I talked about needs down there at Overland Park. One of the members of the Sunday school class came up and said, are we going to take up a special offering for that? That kind of generosity of heart, it comes from God. it is awesome to run into it, and we know it comes from God. We give thanks when we pray for you. You are enriched in everything for all liberality. Paul was hoping that the Corinthians would really show that liberality. I'm telling you, you do. We give God thanks. When your leaders pray with the best of them, we pray with loads of thanksgiving, and you should too. Years ago, I was at the church where Sherry and I met and got married, and there was another guy there that night. His name is also Mark, Mark Hill. But I heard him talking. Okay, he found Christ at that church. He also found his wife, a wonderful girl named Jenny. But he was talking to somebody else that night, and he said, "I don't understand it." He said, "I love this church, and I hear so many people complain about it." He says, I'm from Reno, Nevada. And if this church existed in Reno, Nevada, there would be hundreds of people thanking God for it, because there's nothing like it there in Reno. We weren't in Reno, by the way. It was another city. Praise God for the Apostles' Thanksgiving, and you and I should thank God as well. When your leaders pray with the best of them, we pray with loads of thanksgiving. Now, if you look at the prayers in the New Testament, you see a lot of them weave thanksgiving and supplication right together. Same sentences, practically. We thank God for this, and we pray that it goes on. We thank God for this, and we pray that it increases. The supplications are there. We thank God for things that are true of you, but we also ask for more. I don't mind asking for everything for all of you. The Apostle Paul did exactly that. Ephesians 6:18, he talks about prayer like this: praying always with all prayer and all supplications in the Spirit. All perseverance and all supplications for all the saints. I'm not ashamed to ask for everything for all of you. There's no reason not to want to see an ever-increasing production of the fruit of the Spirit. Those things like love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, goodness, self. There's no reason not to ask for more and more and more of that, even while you're thanking God for what is there. I can pray for everything in general, or we can be specific as well. 2 Corinthians 13:7. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, but that you should do what is honorable. Of course we pray that God would keep you from sin. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We pray those things for you. We plead with God that those things increase. Romans 1:9, I make mention of you always in my prayers. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. Your pastor really wants his sermons to have an impact on your hearts. He prays for that, and if he forgets to pray for it, I push him to pray for it. If he forgets, then I pray for it. If I forget, Carol prays for it. Roy really wants his preaching to impart spiritual gifts in the midst of this congregation. And of course, those gifts could be something like increased joy or increased love. Could also mean possibly an actual, you know, one of those kinds of gifts where somebody grows in service, takes delight in doing something within the church to help, takes delight in developing that talent and that dedication. Paul wanted to do that amongst the Romans. Roy wants to do that in your midst here. Roy really wants his preaching ministry to have an effect on you. And you've gone to deepen that in him. Somebody told him about the working of the Holy Spirit there. He went to see it. And he came back saying, I want to see more of that here. And I press him to keep at it. I ask him almost every week, Roy, are you remembering that? When you stood in the pulpit Sunday morning, did you remember that? Was that there in your heart? I press him to keep praying that with all of his soul. I don't want him to lose that. You shouldn't want him to lose that either. We thank God for you. We pray these assertive prayers of the Apostle Paul for you. Oh, that the fruit of the Spirit would increase and abound and grow again and again. I have to stop, but I do have one more sentence or so. And your leader's ministry of prayer extends even to the communion service. Jesus prayed and broke bread. Paul prayed and broke bread. Your pastor prays and breaks bread. This is not a very large meal, but because of the way it is dedicated in prayer, it is meant to do large things in your soul. That's why there's prayer deeply mixed into the whole communion service, because your leaders are continually devoted to prayer and are asking large things in your midst. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the experience of prayer. We give you thanks for the ministry of prayer. We give you thanks that you have invited us to prayer. We give you thanks for your servants that have devoted themselves to prayer. We give you thanks, Father, for the ways that you have answered prayer. We simply ask that you would keep us praying, that you would bring answers to those prayers as well. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Let me read the Lord's words of institution. And I'll read the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We have these words of instruction prepared for us from godly ministers over the years. Let us hear these words. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Until his coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself in his death. Physical elements representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ. And they are a bond and pledge of communion of believers with Him and with each other as members of His body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God, and they call us to renewed consecration in gratitude for His salvation. It is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and impenitently live in any sin, not to approach the holy table, lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. Nevertheless, this warning is not designed to keep the humble and contrite from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those who might be free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper, coming as guilty and polluted sinners and without hope of eternal life apart from the grace of God in Christ, confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ, and base our hope of eternal life upon His perfect obedience and righteousness, and humbly resolve to deny ourselves, to crucify our old natures, and to follow Christ as becomes those who bear His name. Let us, therefore, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, examine our minds and hearts to determine whether such discernment is ours, to the end that we may partake to the glory of God and to our growth in the grace of Christ. Let us take a moment to examine ourselves. Our God, we were made in Your image, but our sins have spoiled Your image. Our sins have brought us into a condition where we do not deserve Your blessing. Instead, we deserve Your punishment. But there is the Lord Jesus Christ that You Yourself have given. He is the image of the invisible God. He has become to us righteousness, holiness, justification, and sanctification. He is everything that we need, and He provides all for us. We give You thanks for Him. And He has reminded us of Himself and His death, and these simple tokens that are in front of us. We give You thanks for blessing the earth with food and drink that nourishes our body. We give You thanks for leaving these tokens in front of us that teach us and nourish our souls. God, we would ask that You would use these things mightily, as You use all of Your means of grace. Use them within us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which He was betrayed, having taken bread and blessed and broken it, gave it to His disciples, as I, ministering in His name, give this bread unto you, saying, take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Jesus said, this is His body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Him. Our Savior also took the cup and gave it to His disciples, saying, this cup is a new covenant in My blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink of it, all of you.